We'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of June 25th, 2005, this is the Rain Report. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP. If you missed the conclusion of FCC Attorney Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH's talk given during the 2005 Hamvention FCC Forum, Part 2 of his presentation is still online at www.rainreport.com as last week's program, thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. In a June 24th Racy's press release, it was reported that after a prolonged absence, Racy's, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, has been reestablished in New York City as a result of the completion of a memorandum of understanding between the New York City Office of Emergency Management and Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, their appointee as the New York City Racy's officer. On a recent trip to the Big Apple, Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, met with Lysenko in a most unusual place.
Hello, and welcome to the Rain Report. I'm this week's host, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, coming to you from the Amateur Radio Newsline studio in Los Angeles, California. On Monday night, May 16th, I was 3,000 miles away from here. I was in the Big Apple, New York City, making a stop on my way to the 2005 Dayton Hamvention. One of the people I planned to meet up with was Mike Lysenko, N2YBB. Among other things, Mike is very much involved in emergency preparedness in the Big Apple.
My name is Mike Lysenko. I'm currently the District Emergency Coordinator for New York City Aries.
Right, and you just recently came into that position, correct?
A little over a year ago, about a year and a half ago.
Tell us a little bit about Mike Lysenko.
I was born and raised in New York City. I'm about as provincial a New Yorker as you get. I grew up in Manhattan, and upward mobility for me was moving to Brooklyn, where my wife and I live with our two children. My wife tells me I'm middle-aged. I tell her I'm not. She said to me, "You're 52 years old. Does that mean you're going to live to be 104? I said, "No, I'm going to live to be 140. I'll be middle-aged at 70. So she said, "When do you become a senior then?" I said, "When they give me a half-price bus card." I am an actor by profession. I've also been a long-time softball umpire. And I've been a ham for about a dozen years now.
And New York City Aries, since 9/11 especially, has really matured, hasn't it?
Half the battle with any emergency service group that participates in like we do is finding exactly where you fit in the niche, which cog you are on the wheel, and coming to terms with that. I think one of the biggest problems that I had to deal with was making people realize that we are not the be-all and end-all of an emergency response. And unfortunately, in prior years, that kind of attitude was encouraged. And it's a major mistake because it's insulting to first responders who then take a look at somebody like us as a wannabe. And it's a very dangerous position to be put in.
So what changes have occurred in this time frame?
Well, I think what's happened is that people realize that we do play a role in an emergency response situation. It is an important role, but it's a role that is specific to the response with our SERV clients that we provide communication support for. And we are very important to them. Primarily in New York City, that would be the American Red Cross of Greater New York. We provide communication support for their shelter operations, their emergency operations center, their emergency response vehicles if they need support on that, the DRTs if there's a big response, and Salvation Army Saturn. We provide support to them. And that's very important. You have to put it in perspective. You have to understand that service is important for what it is, but it's not more than that.
I guess in the news business we would say that we're the carrier of the story, not the story.
I think that's probably very accurate. And unfortunately what happens is people start to think that they're the story. That's when we create problems for ourselves.
How's it changed, attitude-wise, et cetera?
The attitude is one of accepting exactly where we fall into the scheme of things. A lot of that, I think, also comes with the fact that people have been learning through courses like the emergency communications course that the league offers. So you have a better understanding of where we fall within the emergency response. Understanding that New York City has a different response or emergency response need with amateur radio than does a community someplace else in the country. We have a large paid first responder force. Other communities have an all-volunteer first responder force. So the role that amateur radio plays outside of New York City or a large urban area is different than what role we play within a large urban area. And you have to understand where that falls. And I think to a great extent the group has grown and understands that to a much greater than they did previously. We've also made sure that people are training, taking courses like the EC01 course, which is now the basic emergency communications course for people within ARIES. The irony is that since 9/11, this group has undergone so many changes that very few people who were involved with the group 4 years ago are involved now. The group has grown in the year and a half that I've had it by a good 50-55%. A lot of the faces are new. A lot of the management is new. That's something that's an ongoing project.
New York City ARES and RACES also was very, very, when I was here, when I lived here, and this is 35 years ago, was very, very politically motivated. It was, it seemed that the politics of these groups determined the direction rather than the service to the community. And I get the feeling that to a great extent now it's been depoliticized.
I've tried to depoliticize the group in the sense that I want people to understand that as a volunteer organization, the idea is to try to encompass everybody because everybody within the group has something to offer without placing strict requirements on participation, without placing strict requirements on the amount of nets or public service events they participate in, because God forbid there's truly an emergency, I'm not going to start turning people away because they didn't do X amount of events during the course of a year. And in fact, we'll probably wind up looking for people as we did on 9/11 when they were begging people from all over the country to come in and help support the emergency response here in New York City. In essence, what we focused on is not the political makeup of the group so much as the charter of the group, what our mandate is, what our goals are, and that is really what's important. And not have to deal in the sense that it shouldn't be a situation where we're trying to assuage somebody's ego. It should be a situation where everybody realizes that they're performing a service for the greater good. And in doing so, that in and of itself is the accomplishment, is the thank you. The fact that what we're doing is ultimately doing something that supports the community and gives back something to this and to the hobby. The city is made up of 5 separate counties. Each borough is a county, and each borough has its own emergency coordinator. And they have free rein to run the borough as they see fit, as it should be. And the district is comprised often of a number of counties, and it shouldn't be run from the top down. It should really be run from the bottom up, because especially in a volunteer organization, you have people that are obviously doing more work than others to maintain the organization. But the emergency coordinators in each borough / county are responsible for themselves. What I'm able to do is coordinate the 5 counties. What's unique is that because New York City is set up in such a way that all of its services are citywide, I'll basically act as the interface with our CERB clients, with governmental agencies, and coordinate the efforts of the 5 emergency coordinators. But within the counties, they rule. It's their baby.
They're autonomous, in other words. It,
very much so. But they all cooperate together within the city. In the past, everything was run from the top down, and everything was mandated from the top down, and I really think that's a mistake, because what you really need to do is encourage people from within their own community to work. Unfortunately, what happens is when you run an organization from the top down, you can't make demands on people when they're volunteering the same way you can make demands when you're paying somebody. And since we're not a paid organization, I can't say to somebody, you have to do something. At the very most, I can do is ask somebody to do something. And very often, they can't, for whatever reason it is. And it's generally very valid, their reason. So what you have to do is build a groundswell, so to speak. You have to make sure that the organization is strong at the grassroots level, and that whomever is running that county or that organization has the support from within their group. You really can't do that if you're beating them over the head from someplace up high.
More with Michael Senko into YBB and the story of the changes in New York City ARES in a moment. Right now it's time for you to identify your station from Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York City. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for Rain audio.
Now, back to the 7th Avenue Diner in Brooklyn, New York, and my chat with Mike Lysenko into YBB of New York City ARES.
You have a number of big events here, if I'm not mistaken, every year that you're involved in.
We're actually at the point now close to 50 separate public service events. We've actually broken them down into more of a borough operation. At one time, we, as a group, we handled about a dozen events throughout the year. And some of them were citywide events and encompassed all five boroughs, and some of them were smaller. Unfortunately, the politics of the situation was such that we didn't maintain some of those events, so we had to go out and drum up our own. We give everybody an opportunity to go out, operate their radios, and in that situation, pass traffic and feel comfortable operating in that kind of environment. So what we did was we started going out on a smaller level and within the boroughs, within the counties, and finding events within the counties that gave everybody an opportunity to work within, you know, their own community.
You actually went and solicited events.
Oh, like it's going out of style. We wound up going from, at one time, doing about a dozen events to this year we'll have close to 50. I know the calendar already has about 45 events, and it's not even halfway through the year.
Is there one that's really harder than any of the...
Logistically, no. There aren't any that are exceedingly difficult. Probably the largest scale one we have now would be some of the half marathons that run within the boroughs, and only because they are, you know, a large event requiring more amateurs to do, provide communication support. The New York City Marathon still involves a tremendous amount of hams. Steve Mendelson uses over 400, amateur radio operators for the event, but that is not an event that we operate as an Aries event. That's, you know, separate. That basically crosses all lines.
All groups.
Yeah. Logistically, that would be, of course, the largest event.
Most challenging?
Probably because they're large-scale events. They take a longer amount of time. They cover a greater physical territory than, let's say, a parade or a 5K or 10K run. But we have things, look, they took us through the forests of Van Cortlandt Park, and we have people literally in the middle of nowhere, in the northern part of the Bronx, and literally you have people standing on these paths in the middle of a group of trees, and they're the only, you know, support that a runner has when they're running through what they call the urban challenge. We also do parades, we do bike races, we do walkathons. There are all different types of events that we get involved in, and all of them provide us with the same opportunity, which is to get out there and work the radios and learn and train. One thing we've always tried to do is have people bring in people they know. Obviously, if somebody's is involved in an organization and they enjoy what they're doing, they'll bring in their friends. And that has worked to a great extent throughout the city. We've had a lot of people bring in their friends. We've also made a concerted effort to involve new hams. Amateur radio clubs have declined within New York City over the last decade. One of the things I see us doing is providing a home and an elmering situation to new hams. They have no place to go. And this is something we offer. We have a place where they can come and literally play radio and learn how to operate, as opposed to the way I learned how to operate, which is getting on the radio and having somebody scream at me, "Hey, get off here and don't come back until you know what to do."
I remember a station in upstate New York when I got on the air. No kids, no lids, don't. You might have heard those stories. So, yes, I can empathize with that.
I've literally had somebody scream at me, "Don't come back until you know what to do." Things have changed a little bit.
You're not just providing assistance for communications, but you're assisting the communicators to learn how to be communicators.
Well, essentially. And then we've also found a situation where in three of the five boroughs, we've already had technician-level classes that we've run, culminating a VE session, also gained us members. You have to look at all avenues, and you have to keep all of them open without shutting any of them down, because you never know where somebody's going to come from. And one of the things you want to do is encourage people to belong to the organization. The only way you can do that is to make it attractive to them. Now, how do you make something attractive? Well, you make them want to participate because they like being there. If they don't like being there, it doesn't matter what's going on, they're not going to help out. And the only way you can do that is by making them feel welcome, making them feel wanted, and letting them know that when they do something, it's important. It may not be important on a grand scale, but it's important to somebody that we did something for. Even though the most that they'll get is a thank you, they know that they're wanted. You know, the bottom line is, I enjoy winning. You know, if nothing else, I love playing radio. And the fact that in playing radio, I'm doing something that is giving back to the community and giving back to the service aspect of the hobby and still enjoying myself with a bunch of people that I enjoy being with, you know, how can you not want to do something like this? We've been given a tremendous gift of being allowed the use of frequencies that the public can't use. Along with that gift comes a responsibility. It's set out, I think, very well in Part 97, and then it explains that this is not just a hobby, but it's a service. And I really think it's incumbent upon everyone within the hobby to give something back to the hobby. There are many ways to do that. You could Elmer somebody, you could teach. If you're truly a technician, you can involve yourself in developing new technology. And then you get people like me who love the hobby, are not technically brilliant, but do want to give something back. And the way you do that is by participating in emergency communications and giving back to both the community and the service and the hobby. In order for us to go full circle with amateur radio, I think what you have to do is find something within that responsibility and give back something. And this is my way of doing it. And if you don't have a way to do it, get involved in the local Aries group or local Racy's group and give something back.
You have been listening to The Rain Report, this week featuring an interview with New York City ARES District Emergency Coordinator Mike Lysenko and to YBB. It was recorded on location at the famed 7th Avenue Diner, located in the shadow of the old Staten Island Ferry Terminal in Brooklyn, New York, the evening of May 16, 2005. Now, for producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF of the Amateur Radio Newsline, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. This report is copyright 2005 and beyond by RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, and all rights are reserved.